Welcome to Hunnigal Cast, March Madness Month. Tonight's topic will be Batman Under the Red Hood. But just to let you know, we're not going to be party poopers. This cake is still for you. So we're letting you know in advance that this episode is going to be containing detailed plot spoilers and some salty language. Listener discretion is advised. Folks, there seems to be a lot of technical aspects tonight while I'm trying to put together this podcast. March Madness, it is, isn't it? Hunnigal Cast here, never question it ever. I do want to apologize to my fan base. Woke up on, I think, the 9th or the 10th, and I looked at the stats, and I saw that there was 41 downloads. Almost crossing that 1,000 download mark, which is great. I don't know what happened with Wyatt Jones. I'm going to email him again. I know a lot of things have been happening. I'm actually in the process of moving down to sunny Florida. Permanently, hopefully. Because I can't move anymore. But, another podcast for another time. I figured with March, I'd do something different this year and start March Madness. Now, as you know, my podcasts, they've been either Batman or Godzilla. Maybe some, you know, other topics in the fray, but I figure with March Madness, might as well kick it off with a Batman podcast, and what better than to discuss the Batman Under the Red Hood, both the movie and the graphic novel. That, of course, was written by George Wodenick, and he also adapted the movie in 2005. Now, I was hoping to put in some sound bites. I was hoping to do a lot of things, but unfortunately, there seemed to be some technical aspects with my stereo. So, it is going to be another bare-boned podcast. Again, apologies all around. I'm going to bring, thankfully, you know, Geek Squad will come in and they'll fix the problems for next week. Also, Dan Lamont was supposed to join me. He had some pressing engagements, so he will not be on the show tonight either. But he should be back sometime in April as I discuss my second choice for a movie. If I were ever on a desert island and I had to watch one movie for all eternity, I'm going to be picking different movies once a year on my birthday. It's going to be another interesting show where it's not going to be a top 100 list, or it's not going to be top it's a sporadic list, and it's going to be movies, if I had to watch for all eternity, this is the movie I'd watch and why. And this movie is the second choice on my list, and why is it not number 2 and not number 1, why is it not number 10, well, you know, there are all these movies where this is a Citizen Kane of zombie movies, or this is the Citizen Kane of action movies, so I figured, you know what, I'm going to be discussing the Citizen Kane of Citizen Kane movies. I'm going to be discussing Citizen Kane with Dane. So, and hopefully Wyatt will be part of the episode as well. I put out the Evite, of course. And as well as Albert and maybe Rachel, so it's going to be interesting. Also, as I've said over and over again, for Season 3, which will start January 2nd, 2016, 95% of the season will be dedicated just to the 80s. Books, TV shows, video games, you name it, it'll be 80s. Well, 95%. Maybe some 21st century topics here or there. But mainly, a lot of you have been writing to me asking me about what 80s movie am I going to be discussing. And I thank you for, you know, contacting me on Facebook or the email hunnickfeedback@gmail.com. So I got you covered. So starting next year. Now, if this does work the way I want it to work, I think maybe season, you know, 8 or 9 will be the 80s part due. So, you know, I have a few movies I'm going to be discussing. And also, I am going to be setting up a poll for what you want for the season 3 season premiere. The topics will be Police Academy, Revenge of the Nerds, or Caddyshack. So the poll will be up, it's already March of 2015, so I would say the poll will be up towards the end of the year. And those are the three retro podcasts that I will be that you, the fans, of course, can write to me, or, I'm going to be setting up the polls. Anyway, the more feedback I get, I'll have an idea of what the Season 3 season premiere will be. So again, the choices will be Police Academy, Revenge of the Nerds, or Caddyshack to open out the season. And then second place will be mid-season retro, and then the third choice will be the season finale retro to close out Season 3. Season 4 right now I think will be dedicated just to the 90s, and then Season 5 will be the 70s, and then maybe, like I said, 6 will be the 60s and 50s, and probably just pick some decade themes. But, maybe one season will be just dedicated to anime for the entire year. But I'll see how well it goes. And so I appreciate, any feedback, HanukFeedback@gmail.com. Also, I want to give a shout-out to another podcast, NowPlayingPodcast.com. They're putting together a Kickstarter. Well, actually, they're finishing up their Kickstarter. There are only a few days left. Go to Kickstarter.com to search for NowPlayingPodcast.com. They're trying to put together a book. I think they've met their goal and then some. But if you pledge, they have some great thank you, presents for you out there. So please go into the Kickstarter to check them out. As well as another Kickstarter pledge, the Ghostbusters board game. That's starting to close out the pledges in the Wii hours right now. I've pledged, and I pledged to the Mass Hysteria pledge, where apparently not only am I getting the board game, and I'm getting all the nice little add-ons like that you can only get for the Mass Hysteria pledge. I'm getting different tokens, like the from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. I'm getting the Boogeyman token. I'm getting the Cthulhu token. I'm getting the Cthulhu followers tokens. I'm getting these possessed toilets. I'm getting two huge Stay Puft Marshmallow Mans, like a big token and the Enraged token, and Boogaloo. If you remember when the Ghostbusters had that Halloween episode where Boogaloo, like, ended Halloween and the Halloween door remained open. So if you still have time, check out those Kickstarter pledges. And of course, I'm partnered with GeekCastRadio.com. So please go to GeekCastRadio.com. And they have a donation site up. They're trying to reach $1,000 goal. So far, $120 have been donated right now. It's helping for costs. So please go over to GeekCastRadio.com to show your support. Now on to the main event. Batman Under the Red Hood. Let's go into a little bit of a history lesson here. I want to take you back to the 80s. All the way back to, I would say, 88. After Batman's sidekick, Robin, the first Robin, Dick Grayson, grew up. After Dick Grayson grew up, he became his own superhero, known as Nightwing. And the whole idea of the sidekick was a couple things. The first reason was kids were purchasing comics, and they wanted to be superheroes, but they were kids. So the comic book writers came up with this great idea in the 30s and 40s for kids, that they would make kids sidekicks, and, they would kind of be superheroes in training. And I ate shit, by the way. But, yeah, Robin seemed to be the most popular. As you know, he, like Bruce Wayne, Robin lost his parents to gang violence. Bruce Wayne took Robin under his wing, trained him to be the Boy Wonder. There's always been controversy about, how Bruce took Dick in. No, I'm just going to move on from that one. The point being is that Dick Grayson was trained by Batman. Dick Grayson in the 70s became his own hero, Nightwing. And then years and years later with Battle for the Cowl, Dick Grayson became Batman. And then I haven't read it, but I've just heard about it. And then I think he also went back to Robin and became Red Robin. So the whole idea, so I told you the point of the sidekicks, but also, Batman, since he lost his family, I guess he was trying to, rebuild the family of his own. That was the whole idea. But when Dick Grayson went on his own, I guess Batman still wanted a sidekick. And the history of Jason Todd, I was not reading the comics at the time, so I was a little bit confused about Jason's history. From what I understand, he was supposed to be an acrobat just like Robin. But then, sometime in the 80s, you had the Infinite Crisis storylines, where everything, you know, back in 1985, there was a series called Crisis on Infinite Earths, and a lot of the properties were being rebooted and changed, and everything was just, like, flip-sided around. So, you have one of the famous writers, Danny O'Neill, Dennis O'Neill. He became the editor for the Batman comics in late 80s, and Dennis O'Neill has stated over and over again that the fans did not like Jason Todd, that they just would write in, and this is, of course, you know, before the interweb, but a lot of people did not care for this character. They don't know if Jason Todd just took a life of his own, if he's too arrogant or whatever, but they were not fans of this character. So, in 1988, the most controversial comic at the time, Death in the Family, was to kill off this Robin. Now, I do remember going to my local comic book store only to come across, I mean, it was packed, and there was a tomboyish girl that, because I couldn't wait to buy the comic, looked at me and said, "You know, that's not Dick Grayson, that's Jason Todd." And like most people who stopped reading Batman comics for a while, because, you know, the Bronze Age did save Batman comics. The Silver Age is kind of like Batman 66, and it almost destroyed the Batman comics, and Bronze Age in the 70s kind of saved it. And I guess whatever we want to say about DC, the New 52. But my point being is that Jason Todd getting killed off was always controversial for a couple reasons, because the fans didn't want him dead, but they didn't like him either, and a lot of fans thought that it was Dick Grayson that was getting killed, not Jason. Now, there was a lot of confusion, but once they read the comic, and you can head over to geekcastradio.com, last year, TFG1 Mike and Steve Megatron Phillips discussed that comic over at the Pull Bag, GeekCastRadio.com podcast. Again, there was a lot of confusion about which Robin this was supposed to be, and it turns out it was Jason. I'm not going to go too much into Death of the Family. I'm going to save that for another time. But Jason died. I guess he was trying to find his biological mother, which he did, and she was working for the Joker, and Joker, of course, pulled a double cross and beat Jason with an inch of his life with a crowbar, and then left Jason to die, set off a bomb, bomb goes boom, and there was a 900 number between September, I think, 14th, 1988, to September 15th, I think it was like 24 hours, the 14th to the 15th, or the 15th to the 16th of 1988, you would call a 900 number, I think it was like 50 cents for the call, and you had to decide if Jason was going to live or die. And apparently, you know, it was unanimous that Jason would not survive the blast. And I have the Under the Red Hood DVD, and there's been controversy that there was a lawyer that apparently kept calling and calling and calling and calling to make sure that Jason would not make it. Now, if you have this Blu-ray of Under the Red Hood, there is a special feature, two of them, one on the history of Robin, and this much discussion about why Jason Todd was not a likable character. They're both interesting documentaries. But anyway, Jason didn't make it, so Batman, of course, felt guilty, and then he adopted other Robins. He had Tim Drake, he had Kitty Carlisle, I think, from Dark Knight Returns. And, of course, we would have Damian Wayne. I think it's a little bit more annoying than, you know, Jason Todd, but it is what it is. Anyway, we fast forward to Under the Red Hood, which is supposed to be 15 years later, and there's both a graphic novel that was written in 2005, and then the movie that came out in 2010. Now, I did not read the comic at the time. I didn't even know it was out, and apparently the comic lasted a year. Never picked it up. I do have the trade, though, but I saw the movie when it came out in 2010. I was curious about it. I heard that John DiMaggio was going to be voicing Joker, and Neil Patrick Harris was going to be voicing Nightwing. So I picked it up, I rented it, and I saw the features, and I eventually broke down and bought it, and I've had no remorse, and I have to say it's one of the more interesting stories. It's, at the end of the day, it feels like it's a bigger, stronger Batman Mask of the Phantasm than it is an original story. And a lot of people were upset that it's a character that wasn't like then and is not like now, but we're going to go into every little nook and cranny, or the best that I can at least. I'll give you a quick plot summary for those of you who are not familiar. I'm going to just quickly discuss the plot for the animated movie. Pretty much it opens with Ra's al Ghul. He's in, you know, Ra's al Ghul Castle, I guess. He regrets aligning himself with Joker. And apparently one of his right-hand men have told Ra's al Ghul that Joker has captured Jason Todd. I guess it's somewhere in the Middle East in a warehouse, just like in the Death in the Family storyline. And somewhere in this warehouse, of course, Joker has captured Jason, has handcuffed him, and is beating him within an inch of his life with the crowbar. Batman is trying to use his bat cycle to get to Jason, but unfortunately, Ra's knows that Batman will not get to Jason in enough time. Joker beats Jason within half an inch of his life, leaves the warehouse, but locks the door from the outside. Jason tries to free himself from the handcuffs, which he does, but then he turns around and sees that Joker's left the bomb with only seconds to spare, and Jason has, like, probably one of the best internet memes I've ever seen, and the warehouse goes boom. Apparently, in this movie, 5 years go by, even though I thought it would be, like, 15, 16, if you count from the 1988 Death of the Family, you know, comic to now. But anyway, 5 years go by, and apparently there's a new Red Hood that is, you know, has the Red Hood mask, but the lower body is a motorcycle, you know, accoutrement. Apparently the Red Hood has taken control of the Gotham City drug lords. He has captured all the lieutenants and decapitated them and put them in a duffel bag. The Red Hood has informed all the Gotham City drug lords that he will be taking over the, you know, syndicate, and that the drug lords can sell their drugs, but they cannot sell them to kids. And he's also going to take out Black Mask. So, apparently, like I said, the lieutenants of the drug lords and, you know. Meanwhile, Batman is somewhere at the docks because he's found out that a truck is carrying a Mazo, which, for those who don't know, is a robot that anytime he touches a super-powered, you know, superhero or villain, he absorbs those powers. Nightwing has also come out of the fray to help Batman, and they find out that the Black Mask, and I'll get to him in a few minutes, his men were trying to hijack this robot, but Nightwing and Batman defeat Black Mask's goons and they destroy a Mazo. Then they find out that it was the Red Hood that was intervening and he wanted a Mazo. And then all of a sudden, Joker appears in a flashback, because Joker was the original Red Hood, and, or at least it was the last Red Hood that Batman had saw, and apparently this new Red Hood is commenting and mocking Batman, and saying that Batman was responsible for not saving the Joker or at least Joker dressed up in the Red Hood costume, thrown in the vat of chemicals, and, you know, apparently this new Red Hood and Batman meet up at an Axis Chemicals where everything had once began, and it's one of Batman's greatest failures. So, eventually, Batman and Nightwing do their best to track this new Red Hood, and they find out that he's running the drug trafficking in Gotham, and they decide to go to Arkham Asylum and confront Joker, but Joker, of course, is in a straitjacket, and Batman and Robin are interrogating Joker, but Joker, of course, is taunting Batman, saying that, you know, he couldn't even save Jason Todd, and Batman and Nightwing think that interrogating Joker is a waste of time. Eventually, it all comes down to this. Batman and Nightwing confront Red Hood one more time, and when Batman is trying to use his grappling hook, they notice that Jason Todd, because it has to be him, of course, not only by Batman recognizing the voice, but it seems to be the only guy that when Batman uses his grappling hook or any sort of weapon, the Red Hood is able to maneuver his way away from the weapon and, you know, use a knife to cut one of Batman's grappling hooks. So, eventually, Batman goes to Ra's al Ghul's manor, talks to Ra's al Ghul, and Ra's admits that he was conducting a plan, but to distract Batman, he hired Joker to throw Batman off of his scent, so Ra's al Ghul can continue whatever plans he wanted to. However, he did not think that Joker was going to kill Jason Todd, so Ra's felt guilty. Ra's took Jason's body and put it in the Lazarus Pit. However, when Robin came out of the Lazarus Pit, of course, this is Jason Todd, Robin. Robin, Jason Todd, Lazarus reincarnation went completely and totally insane. Talia Ghul, in a voiceless cameo, is going to shoot this Robin / Jason Todd down, but Ra's forbids her from doing it, and apparently this, you know, rise from the ashes Jason Todd is just completely and totally insane and extremely angry. So, Batman goes back to Gotham City, and he tries his best to talk to Jason Todd, but Jason is way too angry, and he figures that he knows that Batman just uses fear to intimidate villains, but what happens when villains are fearless? So Jason thinks that he can just control the crime syndicate and not scare it. But unfortunately, there's the Black Mask, and this is a villain that, unfortunately, the best way to describe him is one of the failures of a Batman villain. He's a guy that just likes to wear a black mask and likes to torture people, but I'll give him one Batman episode from, you know, the Batman series, season 4 and season 5, I guess, but that's pretty much it. Jason Todd has been ruining the Black Mask's crime empire, so Black Mask decides to break Joker out of Arkham. And, of course, that doesn't go well either, because Joker ends up killing most of Black Mask's men, and, of course, Joker then, at the Gotham City Bridge, captures Black Mask and his remaining men, is about to set them on fire in a armored car, but Batman comes and saves Black Mask and his men for some reason. Eventually, Jason Todd captures Joker and does the Joker what Joker did to Jason Todd / Robin. But now dressed up as the Red Hood. Yeah, I know. Red Hood starts beating Joker with the crowbar and is about to kill him when Batman comes to confront Jason, saying this is not the right way to bring in criminals. Jason has his side of the argument, Batman has his, and finally Jason threatens to kill Joker unless Batman has to make a decision. He either kills Joker or kills Jake, and Jason has to choose. And Batman finds a way to use one of his bat gadgets to destroy the gun that Jason's going to use to kill Joker. And just like with Joker, Jason had set up some bombs. But Batman decides to save Joker's life. Jason escapes. Joker goes back to Arkham. And Batman, of course, says that nothing has changed, that Jason chose his path, and Batman seems to have this flashback that, you know, where Jason was in the Batcave many, many years ago, at age 12, saying that he's glad that he became Robin, and this is the best day of his life. That's pretty, well, that's more to the movie than what I just explained. It's just a really, really huge movie. The graphic novel is huge. It's close to 400 pages. It's $20 if you can get it off of Kindle. But in the graphic novel, you got Mr. Freeze that's working for Black Mask for a while. Joker is not hired by Black Mask. He is just sitting in a carnival minding his own business, and Jason comes and kidnaps him and takes him to Crime Alley. In the movie, it's pretty much just, you know, Jason eventually kidnaps Joker and takes him to Crime Alley. I mean, a lot goes on for the year, but as I said, it is a bigger, stronger Mask of the Phantasm, but I'm going to just go and compare Phantasm to this. Just going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Trash Video is your one-stop video shop in Sleazoid City.
Who the fuck is that dickhead?
I don't know.
We have the best rental stock of horror, cult, B-grade movies available on VHS.
Movies with corpse rape? Oh, let me get set.
Blu-ray? Fuck that shit! VHS!
Faces of Death is a family film.
Our professional, friendly, and knowledgeable staff are here to help you.
Hey, Roxy, after the shift, you wanna go watch a porno with me?
Shut up, Steph, I'm doing my nails.
So stop on by the store today.
I smell like old video tapes in here.
TrashVideoPodcast.com.
Say, kids, what would you like to do tonight?
Listen to the HP Love Craft Literary Podcast.
Huh?
Every week, these two really smart and funny guys give a synopsis of a Lovecraft story, then talk about background critical reviews and what the stories say about the author.
How do we get these two boys into our home?
HPPodCraft.com.
The internet? I don't know.
It's wholesome family entertainment.
We can listen to it on iTunes. It's easy.
And then we can impress our school friends with all our arcane knowledge.
Say, you know what I like to do on a night like this? With the dark woods out back silhouetted by the ghostly full moon, the branches' shadows making all sorts of crazy angled patterns in the yard?
You two aren't going to do that again, are you?
Why don't you two go out back and play with the shadows?
Take the baby with you.
Hey, there's already somebody out there.
What?
I think they're coming to talk to us.
They should have listened. Yeah.
Hey, we still can.
HPPodcast.com.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Jarvis. Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Alright, so let's get this over with comparisons with Mask of the Phantasm and Under the Red Hood, because that's the way it feels. Under the Red Hood, 1993... the only Batman animated feature that was on the silver screen, and I punch, you know, air and screamed at the top of my lungs because I was in New York at the time, and I was tempted to go see this movie Manhattan because it was the only theater that I knew of. I was living in Staten Island, but I was a hop, skip, jumping away from Manhattan, and I don't think the theaters in my neck of the woods was playing the movie. I think Manhattan was the only, you know, there was a theater, and it was a theater where Mark Hamill, who voiced the Joker, the day that I wanted to go, he was there with his family, and he told fans, because he said the theater wasn't that, you know, packed, he was telling fans, like, hey, gather around, we can watch this movie together. So I punch air and everything, because I missed an opportunity to meet Mark Hamill, but the movie itself deals with Batman questioning his fate and destiny and what happened to him, you know, how it's affected others. For example, Bruce Wayne, he's convinced that guilt caused him to become Batman because up until age 8, I guess, he believes he was a spoiled rich kid. And he begged his parents to take him to a movie, and his parents died that night at 8 years old, and he's felt guilty ever since, and that's why he's become Batman. Now, also when Batman 89 had come out, I had a book called The Greatest Batman Stories Ever Told. I still wish I had that graphic novel. It's pretty much a compilation of Batman stories, and some good ones that I've discussed on Geekcast Radio's The Pull Bag, 75 Years of Batman. But again, another podcast for another time. It pretty much deals with Batman wondering why he became Batman. And there's a character known as Dr. Fate, and he takes Batman and Robin to an alternate universe in which, you know, Bruce Wayne, 8 years old, is a spoiled rich kid. They go to the movie theater that night, but instead of getting mugged and killed by Joe Chill, Batman and Robin have an opportunity to stop the mugging. Bruce Wayne will still become Batman, but he won't be as dark and brooding and filled with guilt. In other words, Bruce Wayne's destiny was set into motion regardless that whether Thomas and Martha Wayne were killed or not, Bruce Wayne was destined to become Batman regardless. Dick Grayson was destined to become Robin the Boy Wonder regardless because he was an acrobat in a circus and his family refused to pay protection money, so the mob killed Dick Grayson's parents, and thankfully Bruce Wayne was there at the right place at the right time. Jason Todd, when it was rebooted, he's on the cover of Batman, I think in 86 or 87, he's stealing the tires from the Batmobile, and Batman thinks, you know what, if this kid has the balls to steal the tires from the Batmobile, I'll train him to become my new Robin. But unfortunately, Jason Todd is so angry and won't listen, and we see in flashbacks in both the graphic novel Batman Under the Red Hood and in the movie Under the Red Hood, Jason Todd just doesn't want to listen to Batman. Jason Todd's destiny is that he's going to become a villain regardless because he just has way too much anger. What does this have to do with Mask of the Phantasm, what I just said? It's all about, you know, fate and destiny and what it's going to do for you. For example, Mask of the Phantasm, Bruce Wayne had an old flame, Andrea Beaumont and her father owed money to the mob. They tried to flee to, I think, Italy, they came back, Joker still killed Andrea's father, and she decided to dress up as the Phantasm and kill all the mobsters, including Joker, because they took her father away from her. And at the end of that movie, Bruce felt that he could not save Andrea from, you know, making wrong choices. But Alfred consults Bruce Wayne and says, you know, it's Andrea's choice that she wanted to dress up as the Phantasm and kill people, and I thank God that Batman has never gone down said path. Now, in Under the Red Hood, Jason Todd, as I said, you know, talked about the death as this angry person who is convinced that the only way to stop crime is to control crime his way. That's the Jason Todd way. But he wants to kill Joker because he's upset that Joker took Jason away from Batman. At least, you know, that's Jason's point of view. There's a great argument between Jason Todd and Batman at the end of both the graphic novel and the movie. Jason Todd's argument is what I said, and Batman's argument is that if I kill Joker, what's stopping me from killing Penguin or Two-Face or Riddler? And it would make me go down a path that I don't think I could ever come back from. Now, I have to call bullshit on all that, because Joker in Mask of the Phantasm killed his you know, girlfriend's, I guess, fiance's father, and that's why she became Phantasm. That was her choice. Joker handcuffed Jason Todd, beat him to death with a crowbar, set off a bomb, killed Jason Todd. You know, Jason, if you read Death in the Family, it's a combination mainly Jason making bad choices. I can go on and on and on, and I have on my podcasts with Killing Joke and Arkham Serious House and Serious Earth on Joker. I'm going to be talking more about Joker on my April 1st podcast, by the way, because this is not about Joker tonight, even though he's part of it, but the point being is that I understand what Batman is trying to say, and I understand what Jason is trying to say, that Joker is the reason for everything. It's like, why didn't Batman kill Joker? And it's a discussion that's been talked about 75 years in the comics, so again, I'll save that for another time, but here's the point. If you remove Joker, Penguin would not go on a talk show and gas 300 people to death. Two-Face would probably flip that coin a few times, and Riddler, well, he's all about puzzles. Each Batman rogue is about their own gimmicks and destinies and shapes. Joker is, as Dale LaMotte had once said on my Arkham Serious House on Serious Earth podcast, Joker could very well just be super sane. Now, in regards to Red Hood, there's also, even though TFG1 Mike is not a fan of Batman Brave and the Bold, the Red Hood had an appearance in a Batman Brave and the Bold episode with the Owlman Interdimensional series, where, well, I think it was a two-part episode. I don't think it was an arc so much, but it was a two-part episode in which Jeff Bennett voiced Joker, and he also voiced Red Hood. And in one dimension, the Red Hood is a superhero. We never see, you know, he never takes the mask off, but Red Hood is a superhero. Batman goes to his alternate universe, and in the alternate universe, Batman is Owlman, where he's a villain, but the Red Hood is a superhero. And, you know, again, it looks, talks, and sounds like Joker, even though he's under, you know, the Red Hood, but you get the idea. Batman and Red Hood team up to defeat Owlman and the Injustice League, and Red Hood says that, you know, when Batman goes back to his own dimension, because Owlman has decided to go back to Batman's universe and make it believe that Batman has gone rogue, and Red Hood, you know, wishes Batman luck, and Red Hood says, you know, you may meet the alternate me in your universe, but you may actually be allies the way, you know, we were in this alternate universe, if that makes any sense. And so when Batman goes back to his own universe, he teams up with Joker, and Joker and Batman are allies for like maybe 15 minutes, and Joker's actually riding the Batmobile with Batman, and at the end of the episode, you know, Joker betrays Batman, but at the end, Joker goes, it's too bad we can never really be friends. My point being is that in one universe, Batman and Red Hood are friends, but in Batman's universe, Batman and Joker have to be, I guess, frenemies, if that makes any sense. I don't see a bond stronger than Joker and Batman, and the gimmicks between all the other villains will always be different than, you know, Joker, so again, what Penguin, Two-Face, Riddler, and Scarecrow would do is something I don't see Joker doing. I don't see Penguin, you know, kidnapping Rachel Dawes and putting her in a building, saying, you know, flipping the addresses around. You get the idea. What, you know, it's something that could be, you know, discussed to death. But my other hypothesis with the Joker code has always been kind of like, and I'll say it, with Disney's The Santa Claus or Ernest Saves Christmas, where Santa Claus feels that the magic has to be passed from one person to another. With Batman Death in the Family, I'm kind of wondering if Joker is training Jason Todd to be the new Joker. I mean, after all, Joker did start off wearing the Red Hood costume, so it's something to think about. There's also Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, where Tim Drake is the one who's captured by Joker and tortured, and Tim Drake becomes Joker in that movie. So you kind of wonder if that's was Joker's plan all along, and Jason, of course, has gotten angrier, and he's beating Joker to death with a crowbar, and, you know, Mark Hamill voiced Joker, and Joker is white, and Emperor Palpatine is white. It could be an interesting Star Wars reference, how, you know, you're passing the torch from, you know, evil and continuing, you know, instead of defeating evil, you're just passing the torch of evil onto evil. It's also something to think about. But the other thing, so it's pretty much, this is a bigger, stronger, yada, 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 you know, Mask of the Phantasm. But then, of course, we have to have a villain like the Black Mask that I really don't want to get into too much. As I said, I think he was Roland Sionis, you know, a guy who failed in a family perfume business, and he went to his parents' grave, and he took the oak from their caskets, and he carved it into a mask and make it a black mask and torture people. Black Mask, to me, I mean, Wade Williams voices him in the movie. Black Mask is in way over his head, both in the graphic novel and the movie. As I said, in the graphic novel, he hires Mr. Freeze to help defeat Batman, but Mr. Freeze is asking for, I think, $50 million, and Black Mask says, I don't even have that. Black Mask has been discussed as, like, a nobody trying to become a somebody now, and it's somebody that doesn't work for me. As for the voice casting, well, I like Neil Patrick Harris as Nightwing in the movie. He's not in the movie a lot. The Amazo, you know, sequence I wish just would have gone away. And I mean, the voice cast, Bruce Greenwood as Batman, it works. We didn't see much as Bruce Wayne, but if, you know, Bruce Wayne had his way, he would be Batman 24/7. And of course, you have Jason Eccles. It happens to be an awesome voice cast. The graphic novel's not too shabby either. For $20, I think it's a very heavy read, and it's definitely worthwhile. You're not missing much by not reading the graphic novel, but if you'd like to see, you know, the segments with, you know, Mr. Freeze, I mean, he comes and he goes, unfortunately, and, you know, just to, if you don't want to take the movie with you, you just want to take the graphic novel with you every now and then. And of course, they kind of show an alternate timeline in the graphic novel. Jason Todd would have lived from the Joker's, you know, bomb blast. Jason Todd, I guess, still would have become Red Hood. Other than that, oh, and of course, there's another great argument that, again, unfortunately, my stereo, my equipment is failing on me, and I wanted to add this audio clip, but I guess for another time. In the Justice League cartoon that came out in 2001-2002. There is a two-parter, I think, called Injustice for All, where it's an alternate timeline with the Justice Lords. And there's an alternate Batman, and the Batman from our universe fights, you know, he fights the Justice Lord Batman, and they fight in the Batcave. And the Justice Lord Batman tells the Justice League Batman that they've made the world a better place because Luthor became president, and Luthor went mad with power, and Luthor was responsible for the Flash's death. So the Justice League in this alternate universe kills President Lex Luthor, and they enslave the world just, you know, to make it safe. But they do too good of a job, and they go to Arkham, and they lobotomize all the inmates, and, you know, you get the idea, and they make it more into, like, a police world. And Justice League Batman and the Justice Lord Batman are having all these arguments on what a better world should be. I think that's the name of the episode, too, A Better World. I think that's what it was. And Justice for All, I think, was another episode, so. Anyway, the point being is that the argument that these two characters have is what they should do to enforce crime and how they should intimidate criminals and how a criminal should be brought to justice or not. And the Justice Lord Batman tells the Justice League Batman that the way they're doing things, that this way no 8-year-old lose their parents to gang violence. And the Justice League Batman drops his batarang, comes out of the shadows of the Batcave, and goes, "You win." Cut to commercial, and we see Justice Lord Batman and Justice League Batman drive around the Batmobile in daylight, and they stop at a stoplight, and they look outside. You know, Batman opens up the hood of the Batmobile, and there's a customer complaining about a hamburger at a restaurant, and he's arrested because he was complaining about the food. And the Justice League Batman turns to the Justice Lord Batman and says, "They be so proud of us." And Justice Lord Batman goes, "Who?" And Justice League Batman goes, "Mom and Dad." And Justice Lord Batman looks at League Batman and goes, "Just drive." And they drive to, you know, the new Arkham, where Joker and all the other inmates have been lobotomized. And to me, that defeats the argument on which Batman or which superhero should enforce the law and why and how and what consequences will cause you to go into the dark side and just become a homicidal maniac, going from, you know, stand-up citizen to vigilante to sociopath. So I recommend you get your hands on the Justice League cartoon that was out in 2001. I think the episode is called The Better World. It's a two-parter. The Batman Brave and the Bold, I know it was in Season 2 where it was the Owlman Red Hood episode. It's on the tip of my tongue, but if you have a Netflix account, I think Brave and the Bold is available for streaming. I know it's somewhere in Season 2. And, of course, get your hands on this movie, Batman Under the Red Hood. Animation, voice acting, John DiMaggio as Joker. It's Bender Rodriguez. But he does a good job voicing Joker. I mean, it's an awesome voice cast, awesome animation, great special features. The only complaint that I have is Bruce Timm's picks on the animated series cartoons, because he was doing this for a while for the DCAU movies. He was picking, like, four DCAU episodes. Two of them is the part one and two episodes of Robin's Reckoning. That's great. But then the other two are Laughing Fish and Mad Love. Now, I understand Joker is in Batman Under the Red Hood, but you could have picked, you know, the Better World episodes from Justice League, or you could have picked the episode I just discussed now with Batman Brave and the Bold. Putting Mad Love in there, I mean, I know that we all love that episode, but, you know, there could have been others. I wish this movie would have had a commentary track, but 0 being the lowest, 5 being the highest, I have to give a combination for both the graphic novel and the movie, solid 5. They both work. I mean, sure, it does trip over the finish lines with Batman's moral fiber being questioned. I mean, the only thing is that if Batman had his kryptonite, it would be his ego and his narcissistic attitude about him trying to rehabilitate everyone and save everyone, which he cannot do. As someone who was a former social worker who just got burned out, I realized I couldn't rehabilitate every ex-con, and I was assigned to a lot of ex-cons, drug addicts, people who were mentally ill. You just could rehabilitate everybody. It just, you know, people were just set in their ways, mentally and physically. They were just so tired and burned down and not wanting to change. If you want to be rehabilitated, you have to meet a program halfway. And if you are so close-minded and so beaten and battered and so used to your ways, and you don't want to open up and work with people, then rehabilitation is not for everyone. And a lot of parole officers that I worked with, we all agreed. And, you know, after several years, I'm glad I changed professions and doing something better where I'm in the medical field more than, you know, the social work field. But that's just me. But I digress. What are your thoughts on this? So please drop me a line at hunnickfeedback@gmail.com. Visit me over at Facebook, Hunnick Outcast, the Yahoo group, Hunnic Outcast, the Facebook group Hunnic Outcast. You can find us at iTunes, you know. Hopefully Wyatt will be back sometime soonish. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, all one word, Hunnic Outcast, over at the Harley Quinn artwork. I'm trying to get rid of the old RSS feed. And, of course, GeekCastRadio.com. You can find me there as well. And, again, drop me a line at HunnicFeedback@gmail.com. So, until next time, Hunnic Outcast here saying thank you very much. But, as for the you listeners out there, I want you to do your homework. Be in bed by 9 and, tell the big guy I said hello.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby, not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.